Stupid thing.
I'm just having fun.
Seeing ghosts.
The Forgotten Camp.
We're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and man, what a crazy time it is to be alive. I believe that us four here panelists on the Zoom, Trey Watkins, Tristan Beckman, and Walker Kelly, are, you know, we're all in our 20s. Three of the four of us are in college that is starting back up here within the week. Truly a disaster coming for me next week as I work basically every day of the week. So things are about to get hectic, but I mean, it'll calm down post Super Bowl. But for now, we sit here and we look forward to the greatest football weekend on the calendar, and that is divisional weekend. If I'm low energy today, it's because I went to bed at 11 and my body is broken and I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning. So don't know why that happened, but here we are. So first off, how is everybody? We'll just go with I honestly know how Walker and Trey are doing. Tristan, I haven't seen you in a bit. How are you feeling, buddy?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I can feel that.
Also, live on the podcast, this is something I'll announce to the world later today, but I'm growing my hair out. And so I've decided it's long enough at this point where it's in my face enough that I have become a headband guy. And as I get an unknown call on my cell phone, very distracting. Here it comes. Take a look. The grand reveal. Eric is a headband guy.
Wow. Ooh.
I like it.
Yeah, I gotta say, I think it's a good look for you, my man.
Yeah, I do like it. This is actually like a neck gaiter that I've repurposed as a headband. But it works, and I nabbed myself a little Adidas white thinner one, but I honestly like this one quite a bit. So it is it's headband season, and yeah, that's kind of a way things are trending here in Salt Lake City, Utah. Any grand fashion statements from the rest of our panelists?
No.
None at all.
Not like that.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Okay, just me. All right. Well, that was fun. Let's get to the football. Let's start Saturday. We're going to go Saturday, Sunday. In between, we'll take a break to take a look at the two coaches that we know are getting hired to new teams and briefly discuss them. But here we are, divisional round weekend, really good weekend, and let's start with the first game Saturday. Let's just go chronological order here. It is the Chiefs. It is... Oh, pardon me. That's wrong. Saturday, it's the Packers and the Rams, an interesting matchup, one that I think will be tighter than people think, but a really good, just a good offense defense matchup. But Packers very clearly the best offense in the NFL, I think. And the Los Angeles Rams very clearly the best defense. Walker, what are you looking forward to in this matchup? I am honestly, I know that everybody's kind of sweeping this aside, but this is honestly one of my favorite games of the weekend. I'm pretty excited for this game.
No, I agree. I think that this is going to be a good one. I'm more excited for this game than I am for the other game in the NFC, actually. But I think it's going to be close. I'm excited to see how McVay decides to attack the Packers defense, because the Packers are weak defending the run. But my guess would be that with Goff, A, not being very good, and B, being kind of hurt, I don't think that they're going to take the threat of the pass that seriously. And I think they're going to focus a lot of their attention on making sure that Akers and Henderson don't, Akers and Brown don't run them over. I'm not sure how much that'll matter, because they did that against Chicago and Montgomery still tore him up, and Akers is at least as good as Montgomery. So I would expect the Rams to try to play ball control, run a lot of play action, run a lot of rollouts, run the ball in general a lot, probably to the A and B gaps, because the Packers linebackers are bad. There's no other way to say it. Inside linebackers don't matter much when you compared to the other positions on the field, but the Rams understand how to attack that. I would expect a lot of short passing over the middle, Robert Woods, maybe some of the tight ends. You could see a reasonably productive game out of Higbee, but that would be my main intrigue, because you know how the Packers are going to try to attack. They'll run a little bit early, and if they have success, they'll stick with it, and they'll make the load on Rodgers lighter. And if they don't, then Rodgers will throw 40 times, and that's just how it's going to be. You know, the Packers offense isn't particularly it's not super inventive, and you kind of know what's coming. It's just so brutally efficient that you can't stop it. Obviously, the matchup between the Packers offense and Rams defense is exciting, but neither's going to bring anything to the table that we don't know they're going to bring to the table. If I had to single out one thing, I would say Devontae Adams against Jalen Ramsey should be must-see television.
That was one thing I was going to point out. We get Jalen Ramsey versus Devontae Adams, arguably the best corner in football versus the hottest wide receiver in football.
Best
right
wide
now.
Receiver.
Best wide receiver. I wouldn't go that far just yet. I wouldn't.
Really?
Right now. I still have my unhealthy love for DeAndre Hopkins, so I'll just keep DeAndre Hopkins at number one for me. But yeah, Devontae Adams versus Jalen Ramsey is probably the best matchup. Position specific matchup that we'll see all weekend. Two likely all pros, two guys that are playing at the top of their games right now, should be fun to watch. But what Walker said about the Packers linebackers is really important to note as well. Tyler Higbee and even sometimes Gerald Everett, even though he's inconsistent at times, those two guys could have a big game in the passing game. Even with Jared Goff probably throwing with four fingers. So that should be one really big thing to watch as this game goes along.
Yeah, something I was watching earlier, I was watching Good Morning Football, and they're talking about how they don't think that the Rams and Staley, they don't think they're actually going to put Ramsey on Devontae Adams. Like, they think they're going to put Ramsey on Marquez Valdes-Scantling and put Darius Williams and Troy Hill double team Devontae Adams and take what they can get there. Kind of, that's what they've done to a lot of number one receivers over this regular season and the postseason. Darius Williams is playing really good, so that'd be a really big assignment for him. But I think that, like Walker said, the interesting thing is going to be if the Rams can run the ball against the Packers, which I think they can, that will set them up very well for this game. They're probably the best defense left in the playoffs. They've been the best defense, especially over the last few weeks of the regular season. top five in both pass and run in DVOA. But that said, Aaron Rodgers is playing MVP football, and I can't bet against him right now. I'd probably go out and say Packers win
28-22. That's a logical prediction. I'll say Packers 25, Rams 17, something like that.
You all started giving your predictions way too early. I didn't even have a chance to write down.
Oh, dang.
I'm tracking these at this point.
Tristan gave the prediction.
I didn't know.
Trey had ice cream sandwiches on the line. But, Tristan, what's your prediction here?
Oh, we shall do.
28-22, Packers.
28-22 Packers.
Sandwiches are mine, bud.
Well, actually, I'm 6-0. You're 4-2.
Yeah, like I was saying, no sandwiches are mine, bud.
You gotta make up some serious ground. What's your pick here?
I got Packers 20. What'd I say? 25. Packers 25. Rams 17.
Rams 17. Walker.
Packers 23. Rams 19.
Packers 23, Rams 19. All right. I honestly have this a really close game as well. I'm a visualizer. I like to visualize these games in my head. And what I see is the Rams kind of shocking the world in the first half and going into half with a 17-0 lead. I think Matt LaFleur will make adjustments to the Brandon Staley defense in the second half. I think the Packers come back. I think the Rams have a last-second chance to win, but I think Jair Alexander somehow, some way, makes a big play, comes up with the game-winning play somehow, some way. I will go Packers 31, Rams 27 in what will be one of the more entertaining games of the weekend. So that's that one. Let's move on to the night game. Bills, Ravens. I mean, if you like quarterback matchups, this is it. Same draft class, Josh Allen versus Lamar Jackson. And man, this is just crazy, crazy good. I want to ask Tristan, because I've honestly feel like Tristan's a big fan of Lamar Jackson, obviously, because he went to Louisville. But I feel like we've never really talked in depth about Lamar Jackson, Tristan. So I'm just wondering what your barometer on him is right now. How do you think he's playing? Do you think that there's he's got a good chance to kind of ball out this weekend? Do you think there's areas of his game that are struggling right now? What's kind of – give me your scouting report on Lamar Jackson right now.
I mean, I think, he was struggling earlier in the year. And kind of when he came back from the COVID test, that's kind of – you kind of noticed a change in his play. Kind of got – he wasn't playing like he was in that MVP year, but he's playing pretty darn close to it. And the Ravens went on a winning streak. Thing with Lamar is I think that he's been up and down still. Like in last week's game, he didn't – I don't think he won the game as much as the Titans defense lost it, and the Titans struggled in the second half offensively. I thought that Lamar just had a few big plays, and that's all that he needed. This week, I think he's going to need a lot more. I think his accuracy down the field is going to have to be better. That pick that he threw was really ugly in the Titans game. I think this is a good matchup for him, though. I think the Bills, they're not a great run defense. Like, you know, they're very susceptible to being run on. They're a decent pass defense. Obviously, Sean McDermott's a really like a defensive minded coach, so he'll have something planned here. But I think the Ravens right now, their defense is playing a little bit better than the Bills, and I think Lamar's going to benefit from that in this game.
Yeah, he is playing really well right now. And I do think that there is a shot that, you know, the Ravens just go on a run to win it all. To me, they're kind of my Super Bowl team out of the AFC right now. The defense is playing extremely well. Guys coming out of nowhere. Matthew Judon's played really well. Patrick Queen is really coming into his own. They did a great job of obviously slowing down that Titans offense. Trey, I want to ask you, what did you see from the defense last week, and how do you think that might apply towards Buffalo this week?
I think the Ravens defensive line and linebacking core was perfect for the Titans last week. In regards to that, their linebackers and defensive line are all really stout as run defenders. They're real physical, and they can really clog up run lanes in the trench and battle of the trenches. So the Bills don't run the football especially well. They would prefer to throw the football around the field, and they still have some good pass rushers. They have Ngakoue, Judon, and they have Calais Campbell in the interior who can dial up some pressure from there as well. But I think the Ravens defense is more suited for the matchup that they got last week. Now, their corners are still especially good. Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, that secondary is still really good. Jimmy Smith, even though he's getting older as well. But I think the matchup this week puts them at a little bit more of a disadvantage, I would say, because they, like I said, they're more suited to and more built to maybe stop the run, be more of a physical defense. But like I said, their corners are still really good, especially in press. And so it'll be a big challenge for them nonetheless. But I think they'll be up for the challenge against that explosive Bills passing offense, excuse me. It's just that I just think, me personally, that last week was a better matchup for them personnel-wise on defense.
Walker, moving to Buffalo right now, there is perhaps no more divisive slash fond over slash hated player in the NFL right now, especially among NFL Twitter community, like Cole Beasley. I saw something from you on this earlier in the week. What's your barometer on Cole Beasley right now?
I mean, Cole Beasley is very good at what he does. He's one of the best slot receivers in the NFL. He's probably the best strictly slot receiver in the league. Had an outstanding career, excuse me, but absolutely did not deserve to be second team all pro. I mean, come on. No person in their right mind thinks that he was one of the six or seven best receivers in the league this year. Absolutely not. That's pretty much all I got to say. He's good at what he does, but he's limited.
Absolutely. I, for one, was super impressed by Josh Allen last week. I kind of thought there was a chance that under the playoff light, he'd kind of falter. And he had moments in that fourth quarter that, you know, that was a very close game and a winnable game for the Colts. But in the end, Josh Allen pulled it off. And I would say he played pretty well. And I think he's going to have to play his best game this week. To me, this game, I'll give my score last, but this game I think is going to be crazy high scoring. If you're betting, I'd hammer the over. I think that both teams get up there. My final score is kind of crazy. I don't know if it'll get there. It's just kind of what I think could happen. I think this is going to end up being an all-time classic. I think both teams hit 40 points probably. I am really high on this offensive matchup. Is there any reason to believe I'm off in believing this? And I believe that they're going, it's going to change drastically in the second half. I will be kind of shocked. I think the first half will be a little bit low scoring, but the Bills will kind of take a lead going into halftime. And then the game plan will completely change for the Ravens in the second half. I think they're going to go pass heavy second half. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Andrews has a big game. I didn't think the Buffalo linebackers played well in coverage last week. And I know Andrews has had kind of a down week, down year, but I don't know. I don't think it's crazy to think that he could really show up here and put up a monster game.
I disagree. I don't think Mark Andrews will show up. Every time there's a primetime game, Mark Andrews just does not show up. Like, he just doesn't. So I don't think that trend breaks. I don't think he needs to. I don't think Lamar has really relied on him as much as he did last year. The only thing I will say about this, like, one more thing I'll add about Josh Allen on his part is, like, he's really good against the blitz. Like, I saw a tweet from PFF that was talking about how he's, like, the best quarterback against the blitz this year, and the Ravens are the most blitz-heavy team in the NFL. The something's got to give. I think I agree with you. I think it'll be high scoring. I'm not going to go ahead and say 40s, but are we giving out score predictions? Because I can give mine.
Yeah. Why don't we just get into it?
34-31 Ravens.
I am hesitant to go with the high score on this because I thought I saw something saying it would be snowing a good bit in Buffalo.
Yeah, it might be
this weekend. So
that doesn't matter. The Packers proved that doesn't matter.
Well, that they're the Packers. They're the Packers.
Well, they're the Buffalo Bills, and they're just as good on offense right now.
You know what?
I will say is, like, to his point, Lamar's never played in the snow.
Yeah,
I'm not worried about that. That's such a narrative.
No, it's a real thing, Eric. It's so much different playing in the snow.
That's such a narrative.
I'm telling you,
Eric. He'll be fine. He's an elite quarterback. Like, he's not going to get freaked out by the snow. Come on now.
No, I'm not saying. I'm just saying that it could pose a challenge because it's not easy playing your first time in the snow.
I'm not worried.
All right, I get that. But I'll go a little bit safe on this score since it could snow during the game. I'll go Bills 27, Ravens 24.
Looks like the snow is not going to play that big of a factor. Okay. Based on my weather.
Well, I'll still go a lower score just because.
Ravens 24, Walker.
Ravens 30, Bills 27.
Interesting.
Ravens.
Could definitely see this one going to overtime.
Yeah, I have an overtime score. It's pretty insane, Mo. Please feel free to laugh me out of the building. But I truly do believe this goes down as an all-time classic, and these guys put up insane amounts of yardage in the air. Here it is. Brace yourselves. Ravens 59, Bills 52 overtime.
What?
No, not happening.
You're just begging. That's you're begging for this game to freaking blow your socks off.
Nah, dude, this
you're gonna be disappointed.
Okay, maybe I will be, but I love this matchup, and I just think it's gonna create.
I don't think that will ever happen.
I think it's gonna produce one of the greatest playoff matchups of all time.
That would be the greatest playoff matchup of all time.
I hope so.
I think this is incredible. And maybe the score is not that high. Maybe it's 10 points lower, but I truly do believe this is going to be a game where it's back and forth the entire time, and it's just whoever has the ball last.
I can't see the Ravens playing like that. I think they're going to run the ball they're not going to have that many possessions.
Okay, then Josh Allen will kill you with a deep pass.
Tristan, they ran the ball all game against the 35 points.
Against who?
The Browns.
Yeah.
And the Browns statistically have a better defense than the Bills.
Well, the Ravens chunked off like 20, 30-yard runs each and every time. So, I mean.
Yeah, they could honestly do that again. I was very worried.
The Bills defense is not very good.
Yeah,
it's not all that
it's
good.
It's average. I mean,
yeah. All right. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be some high score game. That's just me, though.
I could see it. I could see one team getting to 40, maybe. Like, I could see it being like that New England KC AFC championship that was like 37-31. Like, I could see it being kind of like that, but.
I think it's
got. I hope it's like what Eric says. That'd be incredible.
I think it's got a closer chance to be that, where it's like 37-31 or 42. or like 49, 42 or something like that. But I really do think both these teams are going to break 50. I just think the offenses are set up to play that way. Like, and the defenses, I think that the Ravens got lucky with the Titans as a matchup. They played them three times over the past year. They knew how to stop them. They have not played the Bills that many times. They're not going to be as well prepared on defense. So I think it's going to be a high scoring game, but I do like the Ravens. I think that Lamar Jackson is going to have by far his best passing day of his career. All right. Little interlude talk, two coaching hires, one Urban Meyer. I think me and Trey have talked about what we think of this at length, so we don't really need to share our thoughts here. But I'll go Tristan first. What do you think of this for the Jags?
I'm going to be honest, I don't like it. You know, I think that it's a risky hire. A guy who with no NFL experience, obviously one of the greatest college football coaches in recent history. But I think it's a risky hire, and it really all depends on who they bring in at GM. Because, you know, if we go 2 years in the future and Urban Meyer steps down because of health concerns, it looks stupid. And that's a very realistic possibility. I think the Jags were just kind of looking for a big name hire to get them on the map. When I think a guy, maybe like an Arthur Smith, somebody like that would be a much better, you know, hire for them. I'm not a big fan of it. I see why people like it. But I'm not on a positive side about that.
Yeah. I mean, me and Trey kind of agree on that. Well, is there any disagreement on this panel, or do we all kind of feel the same way about Urban Meyer?
Yeah. I don't like him.
I think Urban Meyer is a good football coach. The problem is that I think Urban Meyer is going to try to run the Jaguars like a college program, and I think that's going to fail.
That's going to 100% fail.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the same thing as Saban in the pros.
I mean, say what you will, but Shad Khan is – if you've listened to literally anything he's said this offseason, he is like 100% going for it. I would expect them to swing huge in free agency. I think they're going to probably
Well, they have like $90 million in cap space.
Yeah, they have a ton of picks too. I would not be shocked if they deal picks for players and, you know, get Trevor Lawrence. No. The Jags are set up to have one of the most fascinating off seasons in the NFL.
I think the Jags, I fully expect the Jags to sign one of whatever the highest price safety is probably going to go to Jacksonville. One of the highest priced pass rushers will go to Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they will sign Jonnu Smith to a really big contract.
Really?
And I think they'll go get another receiver too.
What about Allen Robinson, a return?
I don't think he goes back, but I think they'll offer him a contract. Yeah.
For his sake, I hope he doesn't go back.
He's not going back there.
No. I think I could see Marvin Jones.
I don't know. You guys scoff at that really quick, but like, if I were Allen Robinson and I had a chance to play with Trevor Lawrence, who is the best quarterback I'd ever get to play with, at this
there's still so much uncertainty though.
I personally still think that Allen Robinson is going to end up with the Lions. I know that I'm a Lions fan,
I
think he's coming home.
No.
Play with Stafford.
Yeah, I don't think
Galladay's gonna be gone.
I could see that happening. Allen Robinson has been a topic for the past few weeks. The other place I really think he might land.
Arizona.
Baltimore.
Why would he go? Why in the world would he go to Arizona? There's a second fill.
Look, man, I have fantasy.
See, I think it's Baltimore.
Would be the best fit, though.
I mean, Robinson could go to Baltimore and be the number one option, but the problem is they don't throw the ball much.
They don't have the targets. It's because they don't have the targets.
And even if they need a wide receiver. Their passing game is based off, I guess you could say Lamar Jackson's strengths as a passer when he's throwing outside the numbers is based off a receiver like Robinson, a guy that can be physical at catching the football and that can muscle his way out and catch footballs. That's the type of receiver that fits to Lamar's strengths as a passer outside the numbers, and that's what's been missing. So if you add a receiver like that with Lamar Jackson's strength as a passer, then it makes all the sense in the world to me.
Yeah,
I think he's going to go to
go to Washington.
I
think they're going to offer him a huge contract.
I don't think he goes there because I think he desperately wants to play with a competent quarterback, and Washington absolutely doesn't have one of those.
You're right.
It really just depends on the offers, because if he gets a big money deal from Washington,
I could totally see him staying with him at NFC North though. I think the Packers are also a viable option.
Gosh, send them to the Packers. They don't have cap, but that would be insane.
He's not going to go to the Packers. I think Washington would have to make him the highest paid receiver in NFL history, and they shouldn't be willing to do that.
Didn't they offer Amari Cooper a deal last year that would have made him the highest paid receiver in the league?
Yeah, I guess. And Robinson's better than Cooper.
Yeah.
One thing I want to add.
I honestly think they just.
Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say,
I think they just.
Jesus Christ.
Get it together, man. Okay.
I was just going to say, I think that I think Washington offered that deal to Cooper more to just drive up his price, knowing Dallas would cave and bring him back.
That's smart. That makes sense. One thing I will say just real quick that bothers me about NFL fans on Twitter is the teams that don't have any cap space, when there's a certain tweet about a free agent and they'll be like, come here. It does not make sense. And then the beat writers, the unverified beat writers who actually think that cap space is a myth and that they can sign anybody they want.
I believe that, though. I 100% believe that because Greg Rosenthal.
It's a myth to a certain point.
Greg Rosenthal has sat here and told me on this podcast, and I trust him above all else, that the salary cap simply does not exist. And does
look at the
matter.
Chiefs, man.
I think
the Saints.
It
does not matter.
It's that way for in-house guys when you're retaining guys that are in-house. But I think
look at the Saints. They went out and made huge free agent moves.
Yeah.
They had no cap room.
And even then, when you do retain your guys, do you know how much money they're betting? Bro, it's so much money involved. Bro, come on now.
I just don't think the salary cap exists. I just don't think it does. Because you can
backload. I used to be the opposite.
Because you can backload a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's not all in 1 year. These guys
look at Mahomes' deal, man.
Yeah. He doesn't get paid until or 3 years from now.
I think there's certain instances, like I said, where I think it is a myth. I think there's certain.
Which is why I think the Packers could pull off Allen Robinson.
They can't.
They could. They could backload the deal. They could backload the deal and make it work. But
it's farther down the line. They have some money coming off the books, too.
This is not a free agency show.
Yeah.
Yep, true.
We've gotten too deep into this. But we all final predictions. Where does Allen Robinson land? I'll say Baltimore. Tristan?
Washington.
Trey.
Walker, do yours first. I need more time to think, bro.
Right.
I'll just go Baltimore. But I really have no idea where he's going to land.
Well, none of us do. It's just a guessing game.
No, I mean, where's the best? It makes sense, but
Baltimore makes sense. Miami,
maybe?
Detroit makes a lot of sense with it. Yeah, maybe, yeah. I just think Detroit makes a lot of sense with the narrative. You know, Stafford would be easily the best quarterback he's ever played with, and he'd be coming home.
Yeah, if Stafford stays.
That's counting that Stafford's still in Detroit next year, which I still don't buy.
Screw that. Give me chaos.
He's absolutely staying. He's anywhere else.
I don't know.
He's not moving.
I want him to go to Indianapolis so bad, bro.
Eric, I'm much more plugged into the Lions than you are.
I know.
No offense.
That's true. But I still believe that he is going to request a trade.
No, he's
he
not.
He hasn't
no,
said
he's
otherwise.
Not
he has
trade.
No,
not
I don't.
Otherwise.
I don't think he'll request a trade.
If he gets traded, it's on the Lions. The Lions are going to do that. He's not going to be him.
Barry Sanders and Chris Spielman have both said we fully expect Matthew back next year. He's not the type of guy that's going to be like, "Yeah, trade me."
All right,
Exactly.
Just let me dream, maybe.
No.
Briefly, Robert Saleh to the Jets. I think this is a home run. I mean, after who's the polar opposite of Adam Gase? Robert Saleh. Go ahead and bring in a competent guy. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was watching clips of him give like coaching seminars this morning, and it got me like really pumped up. And he's bringing in Mike LaFleur as the offensive coordinator. Apparently, he is the guy that has been largely credited with the passing game working in San Francisco. I really like this move for the Jets. And sneaky, I think there's a shot they stick with they stick with Sam Darnold and also draft the quarterback. I think that
they're not drafting a quarterback. They're trading down, and Sam Darnold's going to be their quarterback next year.
I don't know. We'll see.
Schefter said last night that he would be shocked if Sam Darnold's not the starting quarterback of the Jets next season.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense, too.
And Schefter, I mean,
I don't buy Schefter. That. I don't buy that. I know, but that every football team says that. I mean, the Cardinals told us that Josh Rosen was their starter.
Well, we all knew that was bullcrap. The moment we all knew that was bullcrap.
I mean, anybody who watches Josh Rosen play understood that was bullshit. Like,
yeah, but you could say the same about Sam Darnold, to be completely honest.
Well, Sam Darnold still can be salvageable. He can still be saved, man.
Well, you could say the same thing about Josh Rosen, man.
Not really, because Josh Rosen never stinks. Okay,
what is the difference between Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen?
Rosen stinks.
Because
Am I crazy here? I just don't think there's that big a difference.
The difference is that Josh Rosen's better at throwing a football.
I mean,
Josh Rosen.
I think they're exactly the same guy. At
running. No, they're different quarterbacks. Darnold is mobile, and Rosen's not. Rosen's accurate, and Darnold's not.
I think they're at the same point in their career. So I don't know.
Because Darnold could still be a starter, and Rosen's bouncing around in practice squads because his original team gave up on him, and everybody else was just like, "Well, I guess he's useless."
Well, and like, because he played like crap in Miami too.
He never had an offensive line.
He barely played.
This is not a Josh Rosen.
Ryan Fitzpatrick did better than him without the same line.
God damn it. This is just Ryan Fitzpatrick is
pretty good at playing football. Like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay, then what does that say about Josh Rosen?
Trey, you're acting like Ryan Fitzpatrick is garbage. Ryan Fitzpatrick was one of the
first. I'm not acting like he's garbage. I'm saying Josh Rosen is garbage.
Listen to your own logic. Okay. Ryan Fitzpatrick was good in Miami as a top 15 quarterback. Therefore, Josh Rosen being worse than a top 15 quarterback means he's garbage.
Oh my gosh, according to your logic, I don't think this. Look, for the sake of time and for the sake of Eric's schedule, I will not dive deeper into this because I have too much respect for Eric's schedule. But Walker, next time, we're going to have a discussion about this, bud.
If you can send me tape of where Josh Rosen flashed, I will agree with you.
Josh Rosen flashed at points.
From his first season in Arizona, there's plenty of deep balls that he threw that were great that got dropped.
He flashed. He never kept it up, but he flashed.
No, and I'm not saying Josh Rosen is good. Make no doubt about it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying Josh Rosen's perfectly fine as a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. I can agree with that. I think his potential is that.
And I think the original point for me was that I think Sam Darnold is likely close to the same thing and that he'll end up competing for a starting job, but I'd be shocked if they pass on like a Justin Fields or a Zach Wilson.
I don't think Fields is going to go too, but we can talk about that later.
I think Wilson goes above Fields. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he does.
I don't think that's the right decision, but I think that'll happen.
He will. I mean, I'm not agreeing with it, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
So much time in the off season to discuss all this. But yeah,
let's go to the third game.
Overall, we all feel good about this for the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Sol is a good hire.
Okay. Yeah. They'll be competitive next year. That's all you can ask from this team, who was never competitive this year. All right. Let's get into it. Browns. Chiefs. I'll be honest. I'm going to just throw this out to the floor. And Trey, I'll let you take it away. I am so conflicted on this one because about if you would have asked me Monday, I would have said Chiefs walk away with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, just the more I think about it, the Browns offensive line, despite all those injuries, dominated. The Chiefs defensive line outside of the Atlanta game has not been good down the stretch. The defense has not been good down the stretch. And the offense has been in and out of sleep, but still good. I'm not worried about the offense.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. The Browns give off a weird vibe to me. They give off a vibe that they could definitely run on the Chiefs, hold on to the ball forever. And so that's why I'm throwing this to you. I have no idea how to feel about this game. I would not be shocked either way as far as results go for this one.
I feel the same way you do because I saw the Browns beat up on the Steelers and I said, okay, maybe they can get something going against Kansas City. Then I thought about Kansas City's struggles still that they have with the run game. Their linebackers, even though they've gotten some contributions, still aren't all that good. I don't know. It's giving me some weird, alarmy, upset vibes for this game, potentially. And it's in, I don't know. I get kind of nervous for the Chiefs because we saw how touchable they were during the stretch of the season where their defense wasn't, you know, all that good, and their offense found some struggles as well. So I think it'll be a real interesting game for sure. I don't think I'd go as far to pick the Browns, but I think this is going to be, I think this could rival Ravens Bills as the best game of the weekend, simply because of the upset factor that comes along with it for the Browns.
I can argue on behalf of the Chiefs here. Travis Kelce, the game hasn't started, and he's already got 100 yards receiving. Like, there's nobody on the Browns that's capable of covering him.
You're right.
Like, if they try to put Mac Wilson on Travis Kelce.
No, brother.
Travis Kelce might break a tight end receiving record. They don't have the safeties to stop Tyreek Hill over the top. The defense, I don't care how much Mahomes has been, not him recently, but it's the playoffs. He's going to show up. And I trust the Chiefs too much. I like the Browns. They're really good story. I think they'll be able to run the ball. But I think being able to run the ball is going to be – it's going to come to a certain point when Mahomes is scoring touchdowns in 1 minute against their defense.
Yep.
Because Big Ben – I mean, who we know, and I think I hope you guys agree that he's washed. He was going up and down the field on that Browns defense.
Well,
if Big Ben could have like stopped throwing the ball directly into Browns defenders' hands, the Steelers might have still won that game.
Yeah, as bad but as he they sucked, played. Though.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's just what I'm saying. Like, the Chiefs don't suck. Like, the Steelers were straight up doo-doo.
And they almost came back.
They would have. They had a chance, but Tomlin made a moronic decision. To punt.
That's what he did. It's true. The punt was awful. But, yeah, no, I totally agree with Tristan here. I don't see any way the Browns defense can slow down the Chiefs offense enough to play the type of ball control game that they're going to have to win.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be the same type of thing as the Titans game in the AFC Championship last year, is that the Titans come out with a good game plan. They get out to maybe an early lead, and then the Chiefs are just better. I'm going 42-27 Kansas City.
Wow. That's a good score. That's a good score.
Wow, that's crazy. That's not crazy
at all.
I took a touchdown off for both teams. No.
I don't know.
I will put $10 on the line if you bet the Browns and I bet the Chiefs that I will be right.
I'm not gonna take that.
I just don't think it's gonna be a blowout. I just there's no way this game is a blowout.
I'll put $5 on the Chiefs covering the spread.
Which is 10 at this point, right?
I don't know. I don't. It can't be higher than that. I don't know what it is exactly, but I think they cover.
Let's double check. I would be willing to
protect. I think it's 10.
To potentially take that. Yeah, it's 10. Yeah, I'd take you on that. I think then, the Browns cover.
Okay. All right, yeah, $5. $5, I say Chiefs cover that.
All right. So you had
42-27, right?
Yep.
42-27. Wow.
Like I say, I think the Browns play pretty well. Like, I think they're going to execute their game plan. I just don't think they have enough ability on their roster right now to hang. I mean, they don't have enough receiving threats. Baker is fine, but he's not good enough to carry a team to a playoff win in a game that's going to have to be a shootout.
Agreed.
Browns get Denzel Ward back. That's huge.
That'll help against Tyreek, but it won't help against Travis Kelce.
I know. But I just think this thing's close. And I think the Chiefs' offense is a little bit rusty. I am never going to pack. I made the rule last year that I just don't pick against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs at this point. He's kind of a Tom Brady rule. The only person I pick, like, say the Chiefs meet the Buccaneers in the playoffs, I'll take the Buccaneers because I don't pick against Tom Brady in the playoffs. And that's the number one rule. But the number two rule is don't pick against Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. I mean, I think you're right. Chiefs win. I think the offense looks good. I just think this is going to be an insanely close game, but the Browns hang in until the very end. I think it's going to be a heartbreaker. Chiefs 31, Browns 30.
I'm going to go 28-10, Chiefs.
10? 10? Wow. All right. I'll go freaking, 30, 18, 17 Chiefs, something like that.
37-18 Chiefs.
As in 30. No, my bad. That's my bad. 30-18 Chiefs. Let's go with that. I gave out two numbers. It's my bad. You guys are
just way down.
I think that if
this game's gonna be really close, it's gonna be within a touchdown.
Actually, add a touchdown. Add a touchdown for both teams on my score. Add a touchdown for both teams on my score.
I think that the Browns
37-25.
Okay.
37-25 for Trey.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think the Browns are going to start out slowly, and that's going to derail the whole thing. That's why I think they're going to
struggle. Just don't see that. They did not come out slowly against the Steelers, and now they have their head coach.
Like, that was a historic first quarter. That's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen again.
I don't know if the Chiefs' defense is that much better than the Steelers.
No, it's not, but the Steelers' first play of the game was a touchdown for the Browns.
Okay, but even you take that out, they still started fast on offense. I think the Browns start fast on offense.
Well, what did they have? Two Big Ben picks in the first quarter?
Right?
Well,
yeah. I mean, Mahomes isn't just going to give them away to score a bunch of points.
No, that's fair. I just think they're going to be able to keep up. That's what I think.
I think they'll keep – I think they keep up for about – 2.5 quarters, and then the Chiefs extend it out to a 15 or 20 point game, and it stays that way.
All right. Good discussion on that one, boys.
Last game.
Woo. Saints Buccaneers. Man, what a storyline game this is. One, this is it for Drew Brees. If he loses here, he goes out as a no-doubt Hall of Famer, but someone who cannot reasonably be considered as a top-5 all-time quarterback if he doesn't win this game, basically. Against Tom Brady, who is the greatest to ever do it and is playing, by the way, do you guys see the PFF tweet yesterday? He is playing out of his goddamn mind. Like, he leads the league over the past month in passing, touchdowns, passer rating, deep balls. He in like every statistical passing category, Tom Brady leads the league over the past month. That's insane. And he did it against a pretty good Washington secondary and defense, and the Saints are a great defense as well. To me, this is the toughest game to pick because I believe in the Saints. I think that they're a complete team that is built to beat the Buccaneers. But I also know that nobody does playoff heartbreak quite like the New Orleans Saints. And if there was a game they'd lose, it'd be this one. And I have zero idea how this plays out. I'm talking my way through it until we get to picks. But to me, this is the game I'm probably most excited about on the weekend. I like them all, but I am intrigued by this one because I have no clue what happens.
I could not disagree more. I think this is going to be the worst game of the weekend.
I don't see how that's possible.
Watching two old white quarterbacks go at it does not fill my need for football.
Well, one of those two old white quarterbacks is playing like well a top right now.
Five quarterback.
I will give you that.
Really bad right now. Like he's not.
Yes. Yes.
Drew Brees is fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Stop this. Fine. Walker, come on now. Drew Brees is not a detriment to the Saints right now.
No, he's not a detriment, but he's just not.
He's not providing anything. I mean, he's just there.
They moved the ball fine with him.
It's kind of like how Peyton Manning was with the 2015 Broncos. He's just there.
Won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that Saints defense is not as good as that defense was.
I think it's as good as that defense was.
You're loaded. You're loaded. I don't. You're loaded.
No. You guys don't understand how good the Saints defense is.
I like the Saints defense a lot. I mean, they're obviously very solid, but I don't think they're outstanding. But they're playing very well right now. They're healthy, so that's good for them. Alex Anzalone being healthy has really helped. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what else to really you want me to say about this one. I think that the Saints are more well equipped to take advantage of what the Buccaneers don't do very well, because I think the Bucs are going to have trouble with the quick passing game. I think that Kamara is going to have a big game. I think that Michael Thomas will get more involved. I think Deontay Harris's emergence is important for the Saints offense because it gives them another quick guy who can get open before the pass rush gets there. And the Saints have already beaten the Bucs twice this season. I think the Saints match up well here. Yeah.
I've said this for the Bucs, you know, since the regular season ended, they've beaten one team with a winning record all season. And that's including like the Washington football team and a losing record.
They massacred Green Bay, and that's like the only like complete game they've played all season.
Yeah. Their defense, it started out really well. It's okay. It's like, it's, you know, it's top 15, top 10, but it's beatable now. It's not as good as it. I think teams have figured it out down the stretch a little bit. And I think that, I mean, Marshawn Lattimore, I don't know what it is. He always takes Mike Evans out of the game plan. so we're looking at that. And, you know, obviously Antonio Brown's been playing really well. Chris Godwin's – he didn't have a great game last week, but he's not going to drop five passes again.
No.
But I just think this is going to be an Emmanuel Sanders game. I think he's going to
– yeah.
He's going to be the guy in the intermediates that the Buccaneers aren't going to be able to cover because they're going to try to put more attention on Michael Thomas. You know, they're going to try to stop Kamara. So, you know, that's like Walker said, Deontay Harris had a pretty good game last week. I think Sanders is going to step up big here. And that's not like bias for me as a former, like he was a former Bronco. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, you're right. He fits in perfectly. This is an Emmanuel Sanders game.
Yeah. And I think that the Saints defense, I don't think it's even close to the 2015 Broncos like Eric does, but I think they're built to give Tom Brady some trouble, man. I think that Cam Jordan, I think Trey Hendrickson's healthy. Those guys can get to him, and Tom Brady has not been great under pressure
this
year.
You look at that Rams Monday Night Football game. It exposed a weakness in his game.
If you got pressured 18 times last week, and he carved up Washington. This is a completely different guy right
well,
now.
Well, can't you just, like, I guess you say, differentiate pressures? Like, there's a difference in pressures, though, because Washington got pressure on Tom Brady last week. But can you really call that pressure, man? Really?
And as much as we want to compliment Washington's defense, it's not as good as the Saints. I mean, half of it is not. That's a lot easier for a quarterback to diagnose. And, you know, the Saints have dominated the Bucs when they played them both times.
I just don't see that happening.
I don't think it'll be a domination, but I think the Saints are going to win. And I don't think Drew Brees is going to play extremely well. I think it's going to be very low scoring. I think the Saints went on a late field goal 20-17.
Wow, that is very low scoring.
I want to call or predict this as a closer game because we were robbed. I guess our football fans' fantasies were robbed of two exciting close games between the Saints and Bucks throughout the year. And that was because the Bucks sucked in both of those games. So I want to predict this as a close game, speaking as it's the third time around for both teams. And it's a divisional game. Divisional games, you never know what can happen. All the norm and all that crap goes out the window. So I want to predict this as a close game. But I will say one thing is that I think the one thing that the Bucks will truly have to do is ramp up the pressure on Drew Brees as much as they can without sacrificing a lot of their cushion in the back end. Keep a lid on the short passing game and get as much pressure on Drew Brees as possible so you can give yourself a chance to stop that Saints offense. But I think it'll be a close game, but I still think the Saints will come out with the W. I'll say Saints 24, Buccaneers 19.
I'm going to break my rule. I mean, what a rule it was, I mean, to not even follow it, but I'm a bad boy. So I'm taking Drew Brees here. Just the Saints have that vibe of a team that has got to make a deep run here. If they lose this, it is sneaky, like one of the most heartbreaking playoff stretches in NFL history, right up there with probably the Bills losing four straight Super
Bowls. No, it's not.
Yeah, it is, dude. From the Minneapolis Miracle.
They haven't even gotten to a Super Bowl.
Getting screwed by the no call against the Rams.
I understand they've gone through a lot, but like they've just choked. It's not like the Bills where they were the best team in their conference 4 years in a row and didn't ever get a break. Like the Saints have been the architects of their own demise every time except for the Nicole Roby Coleman call. That's the only time they haven't been the architects of their own demise.
I would argue they've been honestly the best in their conference over the past 3 years and they've lost every single time.
They've been the best as a whole, but they haven't been the best each individual season.
Like, all right. Like Walker said, dude, like, how the hell do you let Stephon Diggs go for that touchdown? Like, what the hell? Like, I'm not gonna feel bad for that.
I'm just arguing for Saints Twitter, okay?
It's painful, but it's not four Super Bowl losses in a row painful.
I'm just arguing for that boy Wolf, okay? That's all.
It's not a good argument, though. It's just a bad argument. No, it's not. You can't just say it's a good argument and then just not provide any evidence.
But it sucks to be a Saints fan.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
The playoffs every year.
They lose in heartbreaking fashion every year.
I've never seen my team win a playoff game. I'm 25 years old.
The most painful moment.
Miss me with that shit.
The most painful moment of my the most painful moment of my entire fandom life in any sport is the Broncos losing in the divisional round to the Ravens. That's last second. That is every single year with the Saints at this point.
Who cares?
3 years.
They get to watch 11, 12 wins. They get to watch.
Shut up. It's painful to be a Saints fan.
Who cares?
I don't think you can pull this argument off of Walker. I just don't. He's the wrong guy.
Yeah, he's the wrong guy to argue with about this, man.
This same Saints team won a Super Bowl, what, 11 years ago?
They did.
I missed the playoffs.
Yeah. No
Broncos losing season has made me feel the pain I felt when we lost in the divisional round. It sucks to lose more in the playoffs more than it sucks to lose in the regular season.
Hey, but over a continuous amount of time, the Lions have sucked, man.
It's 25 years.
Of course it sucks.
Fine. I'm arguing for Saints Twitter. That's all I'm doing.
Not when you have a quarterback who would be a Hall of Fame candidate if his team was competent at all.
But it would also, but also admit that it would suck to be a Saints fan.
Yeah, I'm sorry that your argument is dumb.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Eric, this is the wrong guy to argue with. He suffered pain for 15 years.
So what's going to happen? They block an extra point? Like, what are we thinking here, Eric?
28-20 Saints.
Okay.
Two field goals.
Their kicker sucks, though. Suckup is not good.
Yeah, he's made a lot of field goals because he only attempts short ones. But yeah,
I would not be surprised if he cost them the game. Like
28-20 Saints, and I honestly don't think it's ever that close. I think it's Saints keep the Bucs at arm's length all game.
Alrighty, and
I'll say this: Brady has a chance, like a last ditch, like no timeouts, a minute and 20 seconds left from the 25-yard line, down 28-20, to go down the field and tie the game, and he fails.
I'd love to see that, Walker. I mean,
he fails.
You're speaking music to my ears.
Talking about Drew Brees, man.
Talking about Tom Brady.
Well, okay. See, I don't think it. I don't think. Is it? Can it? Is it like? And can it you hate Tom Brady now? Like, I don't hate the guy anymore.
It won't be his fault that the team loses. I'm just saying he'll get that chance, a long shot chance. He won't succeed, and that'll be the narrative. Right or wrong, that'll be the narrative.
Trey, I need your pick.
I do hate Tom Brady. I can hate Tom Brady as much as I want.
You can't argue.
I'm not to waste my life on that anymore.
Yeah, I wasted 5 years of my life doing it's that, and I wish I got it back.
It's not for football reasons.
Okay.
Okay, I'll go Saints. I'll go Saints 26. Saints
24-19. That's what you said.
Yeah, 24-19. That's what I said. Thank you, Tristan. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I did not get that down. All right, baby. Well, this panel never ceases to amaze. I mean, we've argued about so many things at this point that it's honestly quite breathtaking. It's always good, entertainment value. I'm sure we'll come back for, we'll get all four of us on for like pre-free agency maybe.
We need to do that. Let's do that. A
little pre-draft. This will just kind of be.
I do have one thing to say.
Yes.
One thing. If the Lions hire Dan Campbell, have an emergency podcast, just you and me, where I just yell while drunk for like 15 minutes about how much I hate the team that I love.
Yeah, I mean, that would really suck for you if they decided to go that route.
Dan Campbell, bro.
I truly can't deal with the way.
It does suck. I will just say, it does suck to be a Lions fan. My only argument with the Saints was that it also sucks to be a Saints fan at points.
I don't think it does. I think it sucks to be a Saints fan for like four days out of the year.
You ask a Saints
fan. 4 days out of the year.
If they don't win a Super Bowl this year, you ask a Saints fan. It is sucked to be a Saints fan over the past four years.
I don't care. Right, you got well, to watch you, your team you, win you, like six playoff games.
We've got to get you on with. We've got to get you on with Ryan. He'll set you straight. It's painful. No, he won't.
You can't set a bisexual straight, Eric. You can't do it.
Oh man.
All right. With that sick burn, we're getting out of here. Thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it. Walker is at Big Daddy Drix on Twitter. Tristan is at tbackman24. Tristan, are you doing anything interesting this off season with football stuff at all?
I've been working on some draft stuff. Okay. And that most of that will be on the podcast account.
Cool.
But I'm excited to get more into draft stuff again this year.
Yeah. I was briefly looking at that today. Not a draft guy, but was watching some Queedy Pay highlights. I don't know. Seems like a guy. All right. I don't want to get Walker started. We got to get out of here. I don't want to get Walker hot and bothered talking about Queedy Pay. So we got to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back with a show up on Monday. Check that out. Thank you very much for joining us. Peace out.
Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.